Welcome to the Deep Practice Podcast, where we will share tips, stories, and strategies that help bring power into your discipleship process. I'm your host, Becky Shabilsky, and today we're back with Bob Beer, the founder of Go and Do Discipleship. Well, Bob, thank you for joining us again here on the Deep Practice Podcast. Last time, you shared the story about how you got started on the adventure of trying to bring deep practice into the church in order to better equip people to go to God in their daily lives. And as you shared your story, you told us that as you began getting these practice tools out into the wider world, you ran into a kind of surprising obstacle. And so would you tell us what happened when you faced that motivation challenge?
Yeah, people, as I said last time, people weren't using the book and weren't using the practices. And we didn't quite know why. And it was very discouraging. But then, again, God brought to my mind this experience I'd had a few years earlier. And the experience started, it was an experience that happened one morning. I woke up and I was getting dressed for work and I was watching CNN. And they had this story on CNN where this reporter was out in Colorado at this place called the Bridgestone Winter Driving School. And what it was is Bridgestone had set up a driving course outside of Steamboat Springs, Colorado, to teach young drivers how to drive in snow and ice. And the course had a bunch of different sections in it where, like, one section you learn how to turn on ice, another section you learn how to stop on ice, another section you learn how to get out of a skid. And so by the time the story was over, I was like convinced I wanted to have my daughters, who at the time were 15 and 16, go to this school because they were just learning to drive. And when I was 16, I had got caught on ice and hit the brakes, run off the road and wrecked our family car into a tree. So I was like really motivated that they learn how to do this. So my idea was I got got everyone together. I said, hey, let's go out to Colorado between Christmas and New Year's and we'll do a skiing vacation. We've never been out there. Let's go do it. And oh, by the way, girls, I've signed you up for this winter driving school. So fine. So we go out, we ski for a couple days. The day comes for the winter driving school. I wake them up early and they start complaining right off the bat, like, you know, Dad, this is stupid. You know, we know how to drive in snow and ice. We wanted to go skiing. This is dumb. So I take them to the course. I drop them off. And there's a whole room full of teenagers with the same kind of dreary demeanor. They don't want to be there. And the instructor tells me, don't worry, when you pick them up, they'll be smiling. They'll be happy. So, okay. I left. I came back at the end of the day. I picked them up and they got in the car and they were so excited. They could not stop talking. They were talking a mile a minute about everything that had happened. And what they had done is they had talked to him for a while, but then they took him out to the driving course and they put two teens in one car. And they had a second car with the teens that had an instructor in it. And there was an intercom system between the two cars. And what they would do is they would go to a section of the course and the students would pull off and observe while the instructor did the maneuver in that section of the course. And the instructor would explain what he's doing. And then he would pull off. The first teen would then have to do it with his help. Would have to do it until he had the maneuver down, and then the next teen did it. And once they both had learned it, then they went to the next section of the course and so forth and so on. And at the end of the day, they were able to drive the entire course without wrecking the car. And I told my wife that night, I mean, this is the best example, one of the best examples of accelerated learning I've ever seen. I mean, they had done for our daughters what we had done for our editors, you know, years before. They had actually taken driving in snow and ice and they had broken it into small chunks. The chunks were the different sections of the course where you learn to do the different skills. They had provided the mental images. The teens got to watch the instructor do it multiple times before they did it. And they had coaching support. When they were doing it, the instructor, helped them learn how to do it and wouldn't let them move to the next section of the course until they had mastered that. So, and the result was amazing. In one day, they had learned what had taken me years to learn. And over the years, many times they've told me, Dad, I got in this situation on ice and I knew exactly what to do. And that's always given me, it just makes me feel good that I had some role in equipping them to know how to do that. So when I thought back on this story, a few things occurred to me. One was our book actually had the small chunks. We had taken the spiritual disciplines and broken into these five chunks. We're in our, like, how to forgive somebody if they hurt and offend you, how to relinquish worries and fears to God. And so our practices were the chunks, and our book had provided the mental images too. We had stories in the book that a person could read and visualize what it looks like to actually practice that and learn that. But what was missing, we knew once we got out of the test groups, what was missing was there was no coaching support at all. People just took the book without a coach. It'd almost be like the winter driving school without the instructors. The kids would have gone to the course and just kind of played around and really not learned anything. And so,
were like 3 years in, realizing it's not going so well outside of the test groups. You're so frustrated, you're ready to give up.
Right.
And then you remember this story. And you realize, as God brings the story to mind, that it's the coaching piece that was missing. So once you realized what was missing, what did you do? How did you move forward next?
Well, we knew, we thought that, again, we were committed to this idea of churches, helping churches use deep practice and helping churches become like winter driving schools for learning of spiritual disciplines, learning things quickly that you could use the rest of your life. And so we knew there had to be coaching support there. And so we spent another 3 years, Becky, creating these, we call them leader guides or coaching guides that people could use. Like if you're leading a retreat or leading a small group or leading someone through pastoral counseling or leading a sermon series, how you would actually provide the coaching support, in those kind of scenarios to help people do the practice and stay with it until they had mastered it. And so we had these coaching guides. We started giving these out and testing these in churches in Northern Ohio. And again, it was going great. Retreats where people were telling us the best retreat we ever had, small groups, pastors were using it in counseling and telling me they were having, people were, having great experiences of God's grace. And so again, we were excited, but there was something bothering me about it, I remember. And that was, I wondered if people after the retreat or after the small group experience, 6 months later, 9 months later, if they were still using the practices they had learned. And so I made a point of going back to these people who had given me these great, testimonials and asking them, are people still using forgiveness or really, And of course, what I started hearing was, no, it was a kind of a one-time experience, It wasn't like what my daughters had experienced at the winter driving school. They had these skills that they used the rest of their lives, that people had this one-time experience and they weren't continuing to do it. And we got into this to help people not to have a great one-time experience, but to help them actually, develop, disciplines and skills that they could use the rest of their life on how to connect with God. And so again, we were frustrated. We were discouraged, Becky. We were ready to quit. We didn't know how to fix this problem at all. And then one day I get this call from a church in Toledo, a Catholic church, and this priest is using our tools during Lent. This is 2018. And he was going to use it in a way that was very different than we were telling people to use it. And I remember trying to talk him out of it. And he said, no, he's going to do this. And I didn't realize at the time, but his idea was the idea that helped us break through and learn how to help people do multiple repetitions of something until they got it down. And that guy's name was Dave Nuss. And I can tell you that story next time we talk.
Yes, it will be wonderful to hear how you gathered that insight from Dave's idea and how that propelled you forward. I want to go back and have you share from the winter driving school story. You know, I've heard you say it several times, you know, that in some ways, as that story came back to mind, your daughters reminded you of, you know, how Christians are, you know, that the element of, hey, your daughters went to driver's ed. And so, you know, they thought they knew how to do everything because they had read it in a book. They'd heard it. Yeah. So will you just tell us the insights that you had specifically around the characters in that story and how they relate to the church?
Yeah, that's interesting. I always thought that my daughters in the winter driving school story, a lot of Christians are like my daughters in that story, is that because they've heard about how to forgive or how to do these spiritual practices of, you know, that are, you know, in the Bible, that because they've heard about it, that they know how to do it. And when the time comes, they'll be able to do it, which of course is usually not true. And for that reason, they're not that motivated. You know, they don't see the need to take time to practice how do you forgive somebody. They'll just do it, they think, when the time comes. Like my daughters thought, well, I'll just do it when I get on snow and ice. But so I think many Christians are like my daughters that way. And I think a lot of pastors and spiritual leaders are kind of like me as the father in that story. You know, they love their parishioners. They want to equip them, you know, to interact with God in the midst of their struggles outside of the church. But they know that their words aren't enough. You know, experience is the best teacher, Becky, and they can't give them that, you know, and that's frustrating. It's almost like, you know, churches need to become like winter driving schools, you know, and
I remember you telling me that, you know, years afterward that your daughters would call you. Yeah. And what did they tell you when they would call you?
Yeah. Well, they'd say like, Dad, I got, you know, I started to skid on ice and I knew exactly what to do. And I pulled out of it because I remembered what I'd learned at the winter driving school, you know.
And when you tell me that story, it just amazes me. I mean, as a parent, we maybe always fear we're going to get that call in the middle of the night that our kid has, you know, been involved in some accident and is at the hospital. But you don't get that kind of call from your kids. You're getting the call that says, hey, I encountered this challenge and I knew exactly what to do and I navigated safely through it. Thanks for equipping me. I mean, that's the kind of call we all want to get, right?
That's right. And again, too, I think the thing that's interesting about deep practice is, and I saw it with our editors and I saw it with my daughters. They had a lot of fun doing it, learning that way. It's just, they didn't think they needed to do it, but they had fun doing it. And my daughters also tell me, you know, when I have children, you know, they're all going to go to the winter driving school. Yeah. So they're like, they're big advocates of it, just like our editors were big advocates. So I think if churches can create, you know, winter driving schools for learning the disciplines of the faith, I think it can be something that is exciting and fun and something that they can use the rest of their lives and tell other people about, you know.
Well, and then just in my own reflection on my time in pastoral ministry, you know, the calls that you get in the middle of the night, you know, from people in crisis, you know, and you do your best to help them, but I mean, it would be a dream for a pastor to have more of those kinds of calls where somebody says, oh, I'm in the middle of this crisis. And I just wanted to let you know that I'm doing this practice. I know exactly what to do. And thanks for equipping me. That's a dream for the pastor. And that's pretty amazing that that's a possibility when we begin to equip people through deep practice.
Yep. Yep. It's true.
Well, thanks again for sharing this part of the story. And as we have you come back next time, we'll hear what happened as you gathered that last insight, kind of a surprise that came to you that helped you move forward. So thank you.
Thanks, Becky.
In our next episode, Bob will join us again to share the final insight he needed in order to effectively move learning from being a one-time event into a lifelong habit with deep practice. In the meantime, you can find us at www.deeppracticepodcast.com. Go ahead and subscribe now so you don't miss the next episode. And thanks again for joining me here on the Deep Practice Podcast. See you soon.